but this, I know this is psychosis. I know this is Mike Tuohy psychosis. But there's a grandfather clock on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
No, there's not.
Hello, ladies, and welcome to Netflix Book Club, episode number, Mike?
198.
198, that's why we keep them around, folks. Welcome to Netflix Book Club, your favorite movie podcast. Don't call it a review, all right? We're bringing people together through the power of cinema.
Comedy podcast where we talk movies.
Comedy podcast where we talk movies. That's an original idea. There's none of those out there.
No, and this one is kind of like a book club.
Yeah.
Where we tell you what movies we're going to watch for the month. And then we watch them.
And then we expect you to watch them before you listen. And then you say, you yell at the car, at the audio system you're listening at the podcast through in disagreement, but we don't get to you hear it really, you know?
No, but if you want to voice your opinion, go to the Netflix Book Club podcast on Instagram.
They're trying to ban us. The hammer's coming down, folks. Can we talk about that?
We're making waves.
Is that what it is? I like that. That's a good spin.
We're making waves. Netflix is nervous. And
that's right. They're upset that we stopped making it strictly Netflix movies. They finally caught wind that we've been, you know, Amazon Prime, Hulu, whatever, man, Paramount Plus.
And Zaddy Zuckerberg came for our Instagram account. And but they flagged it, but they let it roll. We may have to change the name of the pod.
Yeah.
At some point.
I don't want to do that, but if we have to, we'll have to.
I know you don't. You don't like change.
I don't like change. You know that.
I know this, but yeah. I do think for some reasons that we may have to.
Top may of your head. Have to. Just gun to your head. What's the name of the podcast now? Boom, go.
Dennis and Mike at home watching movies with you guys.
Rolls right off the tongue. Levity is the heart, is the soul of wit.
Levity or brevity?
Brevity, goddammit. Brevity, yes. Levity. Brevity is the heart of levity.
We are cooking in the kitchen with Wanda? LaWanda?
Tawanda!
Tawanda!
Tawanda forever. Before we get to that, real quick, follow me on Instagram. It's my only social media, at DennisRooney7. That's DennisRooney7. And then the numeral 7.
Wow.
Not Roman numeral, the regular numeral. Mike, where can they find you?
You can find me all social media, _ Mike Tuohy. Now, we picked this movie at the beginning of the month because it's Women's Month.
Yeah.
And we said, we need a women's movie.
We kind of skipped over Black History Month. We said, we can't fuck it up twice. We can't do two in a row, you know?
Yes. So we were like, so I put out a couple of feelers to some people. I said, I don't want to just pick another rom-com. It's kind of like, well, we could have.
Yeah.
But well, it's like, does that necessarily mean women? It kind of does. But I was like, I want like a woman movie.
A woman movie.
And this was...
Do you have any favorite women's movies, Mike? Again, off top. Gun to your head. What's your favorite women's movie?
Women's? I don't know. I didn't love League of Their Own, but that's definitely a women's movie.
That is a
movie.
Women. Yeah, I didn't love that one either.
You know, we're not women. Wait, let me check.
Still there?
It's not women, but I don't
know. That doesn't matter anymore. It's really like what's in your
heart. I wasn't going to say anything.
I had to check in my heart
Hold
real
on.
Quick.
To Leslie? To Leslie was a great movie. Is that a women's movie?
I don't know. It's about a woman.
It's about a woman?
But it's kind of about a woman to get saved by a man. In a way, right? Kinda. You could make arguments either way. I don't know. It's an alcoholic movie, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So some people really love this movie we picked. I mean, they love it. It's one of their favorite movies.
What movie was it?
We watched Fried Green Tomatoes.
Well, you go and give me bring in some of them fried green tomatoes.
It was it took place in 1932.
1932 in the southern hemisphere.
Mary Louise.
Louise Parker.
Okay. Her love her.
Love her.
But her accent at times almost sounded like British. Did you get that?
Did you think so? Yeah.
Some of the ways that she would end some of her sentences. And then I'm going, all right, but it's 1932. And maybe the Southern did still sound a little bit more like British. Like, there's some words that carry over. The Brits still say reckon, like the South says reckon.
Right, right.
You know, there's certain terms. Like, it kind of makes sense that it might, but I was just trying to give it some credit where I was like, another thing I didn't want to bash about the movie, but...
I was hearing out of her almost a little more like Louisiana, New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Like, the way that I do declare... But it's
right,
like,
that's true.
But it's just, in general, it just seemed very Southern Belle, though. But I didn't really pick up on the British thing, but I, you know, her accent was kind of touch and go a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, it was touch and go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'll say about her accent in particular.
Yeah, it was her, and what was the other actress's name? Iggy,
yes.
Iggy, which,
damn it.
Who's coming up with these names?
I don't know. Kathy Bates, obviously.
Kathy Bates, of course, playing our 40s, in her 40s, in the 1980s housewife.
Yes.
Unhappy in her marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what a place to start.
She's funny. She's great. I mean, without her, this movie, You know, I enjoyed every time she comes back on the screen.
Yeah, I like seeing Kathy Bates. Yeah.
Also because it's a lot of funny. She's being funny all over the place.
It was weird for me a little bit because that style and her in general was reminding me a lot of like my mom and my aunts back in the 90s.
Interesting.
Like kind of wearing those floral stuff and like a brooch on a thing.
Yeah.
You know. But and they were all like, you know, heavier ladies. You could see me. I probably would look the same if you threw me in one of those outfits.
Was there candy bars hidden around the house?
Candy bars hidden around the house.
Packs of smokes or something?
Smokes all the time. But like, definitely always this thing of like, this lifelong thing of trying to like get your weight in order.
Oh, this movie 100% resonates with women. I mean, some women love this movie. It's like their favorite movie.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about it.
I knew nothing about it.
Nothing about it. You know, it's friendship. And they literally spell it out at the end. It's like, there's nothing more important than friendship. But, you know, it's a little like they're being gay, right? I mean, the two of them.
So
it says soulmates in the, you know.
A couple things about this movie.
Ladies, ladies.
Ladies. So it is based off a book.
Yeah.
It is based off a book. In the book, it is explicit that they are banging.
Oh.
These are lesbians.
Oh.
They got a taste for it. You know what I'm saying?
Issues?
And they're not just serving fried green tomatoes at that place, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So that was explicit, but when they decided to adapt the book, somebody at some point goes like, we can't be too overt with this. Like, they can't be, which nowadays it'd be like, some of the movies we've watched recently, Saltburn.
Forget it.
Poor Things.
Forget it.
We'd have full-on scissoring if this movie was made nowadays, and it would be empowering. It would be an empowering
scene. Even that
scene.
Movie Carol, the slow, intimate sex scenes, and they're going over each other's bodies.
Oh, yeah, Carol. That was a woman's movie.
That's a woman-for-women movie.
That's a very forgetful movie, though.
I liked it. I think about it often.
Do you really?
It comes back to me.
I don't even remember. I couldn't tell you anything about that movie other than it was like secret lesbians, right?
Yes.
Secret lesbians secret in another lesbian. Time.
That's
which is kind of like
that's
this
hitting
movie.
Me right on the head, man.
Secret lesbians. I'm going to make a movie called Secret Lesbians in the 19 anythings now that it's the 2000s. So they were explicitly having intimate relationships.
Because in this movie, I mean, there's a moment when I wish I had the characters' names.
It's Ruth and Iggy.
Ruth finally lets go in her inhibitions, and she's getting drunk. She's in the pond or the lake in the dress. She's wet.
Nice butt, Mary Louise Parker.
She's dripping wet, and she kisses the other one. Oh, no, she doesn't. I'm sorry. She doesn't kiss her. She does, right?
Kiss I think her on she does kiss her, but like on the cheek. Yeah.
She kisses her on the cheek. That's it. She says she loves her when she's on the stand.
Uh-huh.
Much later on. And outside of those two parts, I mean, there's a playful scene where they're like throwing some flour and
they're having a
food ingredients.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's all. So it's like, well, and they say friendship.
Yeah.
A bunch. Well, at least they lay it on
we're
thick.
Such good friends. Like, yes, we are. It's like,
and Kathy Bates.
Anybody else watching was like, you two are gay as hell.
Right.
You need to just settle into that, ladies, and just give in. So the food fight is supposed to be symbolic of them having sex, which is just again. I don't really dig that. I think this movie came out in 91. They could have made this movie a little more to the forefront, I think, but they probably would have decreased their audience because this movie was filmed for like something like 18 million. Like maybe that sounds high, but maybe that's correct. I don't know. But it made over $100 million at the box office.
Kathy Bates, the year before, won the Oscar for Best Actress in Misery.
Oh, okay.
And there's a line in this movie where she goes, I'm not just some fat blob in a horror movie. And that's a wink because the previous year she's in Misery and wins the actress. I thought that was kind of cool.
That is funny. That is cool.
Yeah, I love Kathy Bates. What you're saying makes sense. So they take out the explicit lesbian stuff. It is 1990s. There is like AIDS stuff.
Yeah, it is 91.
It was
true.
You know, it was
out.
A different time, even though, you know, it doesn't feel like that long ago, but in some ways, in some ways it does.
If I ever make a movie, I'm gonna have a lesbian sex scene that's symbolic of a food fight. I'm gonna do it the other way.
Okay.
Be like, I know they had sex, but really they're just throwing cupcakes and shit around. That's what I meant to
literal eggs?
Literal hey
are being thrown.
And
then they bring that cop in.
And the cop's got, I mean, he's got a hard on watching these two, right? He has to be.
He's going
to
arrest them.
For public indecency, right?
Oh, because it's gay sex. Okay.
Or no, public disorder.
I think it now. Now it makes even more sense.
It's kind of like, ladies, you're not being very becoming. But it's also like, yo, get the fuck out of our restaurant, dude.
But if, and if it's them having sex, it's like, well, get, you know.
Yeah.
They're enjoying themselves, but they weren't having sex. They had a little food fight in the kitchen.
They had a little food fight in the kitchen. Yeah. That's a, and Iggy also, from Go, you meet Iggy's character. You're like, this is probably a gay woman. This is probably a lesbian. She's very tomboyish. Just the way she's kind of presenting herself, you're like, you get much gayer vibes off her than you do Ruth initially. Because Ruth tells her then on her birthday, she's like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go get married to this guy.
Oh, definitely the stereotypical tomboy to lesbian from the 1990 character.
Yeah, for she looks like Huck Finn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Huck Finn. So that's a good place because the movie starts there where she's best friends with a guy, which I guess, yes, they're setting up the fact that she might is not like all the other girls, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris O'Donnell, man. You know, at the beginning of this movie, he's in there. It's all about Chris. Like, Iggy won't stop talking about him. Right. It's like, this is the star of this film.
And he's also like a big name, I think, at the time, or a big-ish name.
I think he thought he was going to be.
I think he's on the cover of the VHS box, even though he's only in 8 minutes of the movie. It's
very interesting. Yeah, that's yeah, because he dies immediately. So I go, oh, the hat comes off, and I'm like, oh, he's going to get his foot caught.
They telegraph the shit out of things and in this movie.
And then
I'm
like, and then he's going to get run over by this train. Like, I said both things, but I said he's going to get his foot caught, and then, of course, it does, and I'm like, yeah. And I go, and then as a joke, because I'm almost like, he'll have to get away, right?
I mean, don't you think you could just kind of like...
2 minutes into this movie.
Like, at the very last second, aren't you going to be like, all right, I guess I'm losing the leg, but I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump and try to, like, just lose the leg.
It's not until they're panning through the funeral that I'm like, oh, he didn't make it.
He didn't make it. He's actually dead. Chris O'Donnell. Yeah, I also, for sure. Yeah. I'm watching him with his... First of all, you don't walk on train tracks like that. You would never put your foot in between those two tracks. So, like...
That hat had a mind of its own,
that
man.
That hat... You know, there you go. Wouldn't Ruth kill herself? You know, she's like, this guy died because of me. My boyfriend died running after my hat.
Yeah, and she liked men then.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, she liked
she
men
gets,
then.
She gets turned off to them after her husband. I guess that would make sense, honestly.
I guess so.
And this other person who was always a friend is the only person who's around, sticking up for her. All
she's
that
like
stuff.
The manliest chick in town, too. The manliest man in town, for that matter.
She looked okay.
Yeah, what was this actress's name? I didn't recognize her from, like, anything.
I'm sorry I don't have it. I think it was another three-name.
It was a three-namer.
Yes.
The director had to call Stu and Lou, I think, because the two names were so similar. Mary Louise Parker and something Stewart something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, something like that.
Good call. I don't have the name.
Well, you were great, lady. She did that beast scene herself, dude.
No.
Dude.
Did you look that up?
Yes. So, wow. Because it looks so real. And I was like, did she? Is that, you know, how they shoot this? It's not a stunt person. It's her. You can see it's her. And apparently there was a stunt person there to do it that day.
Yeah.
Backed out at the last second.
What?
Which I don't know. The way I read it online makes it sound like they were like, I ain't doing that shit.
Do you get fired from being a stunt person if you say I can't stunt?
Well, it's also like,
this is stunting too hard.
I don't stunt those stunts.
What are you stunting on me right now? We're paying you for the stunt.
You need a beekeeper stunt. I'm a car stunt person. If you need this bitch to go in the water at the beginning of the movie in the car, I could do that.
But... You're never working in this town again. Word gets around.
So they make it sound like the...
I can't believe that.
Like the stunt person backed out of fear.
I want to make this movie, the reluctant stunt guy.
The reluctant stunt person?
Who gets to set and he's like, oh, I don't know, guys.
Ryan Gosling's playing a stuntman in a movie coming out soon, a rom-com.
Oh,
where,
God.
Like, the director of a movie is in love with the stuntman.
Okay.
And then I think she gets kidnapped and he has to stuntman his way into saving her or something.
You know what?
It'll make $10
million. I'm all the way back around. Now I do want to see that. That actually sounds
hundreds
good.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
I cannot wait.
If Ryan Gosling's in it, can't be that bad.
Can't wait to see the risks.
So,
takes.
But wouldn't you also, like, I don't know how stunt people work, where, like, you show up to set and you're just ready to, like, whatever they throw at me that day. And then they're like, bees, and you're like, I have a phobia of bees. Like, I'll do anything. You light me on fire, you can do whatever you want, but I'm not touching bees.
Right.
You know?
Well, they must have a copy of the script.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, they must get something. But maybe, like, they just hired an average
maybe
stunt
they
person.
Don't.
And they need, well, you need, like, a... You need a beekeeper. You don't need a stunt person. You need a beekeeper,
that's
right?
That's true, yes. You need like a zoologist.
Yeah, you need some animal person on set. Like in fucking Friday the 13th, when they cut that snake and the guy's just like, whoa. It's like, that's not a part of this. Like, I thought we were buying the snake off. He's like, no, it's a rental.
That snake's got a 3-film contract. That snake was supposed to be on a plane.
They brought that snake back to go through the Jason mask eventually. You remember that? On
yeah,
the title?
Right. Well, he's owed $3 million.
Yeah. So this actress was like, I'll just do it. And I don't know if she had any experience with bees before, but apparently nowadays she has her own bee farm in like upstate New York.
So she must have had some experience with it.
If she didn't, it apparently ignited her love for beekeeping.
Oh.
But it's supposed to be, how would you feel about that? Because you're supposed to be, if you just calm, like they're not going to fuck with you.
I've been around beehives pretty recently.
Really?
Yeah. And once you get within, I'm going to say, you get within 15 feet.
Uh-huh.
Bzzz.
That's all you hear.
It's like, there's like a depth to the buzz where you're like, oh,
getting
man.
Deeper and deeper.
It resonates like
a hive mind, literally.
Yeah, I think, well, there's something in like your mammal brain that's like,
get out of here.
Probably don't get too much closer to this humming, buzzing.
This humming that's growing louder.
So I was just like, you know what? I'm cool here. And they're not like messing with you, even though you're only maybe 10 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe 10, but you're like, no, it doesn't feel natural. So you'd have to like actively tell your brain, this is okay, I'm going in.
Yeah.
But then to like put your hands in and start ripping a piece of something out, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Wait, I mean, if you dress me up like Adam Sandler in Space.
Right.
Sure.
In Spaceman.
What's that? Rasputin. If you put me in a space suit, one of those beekeeper suits, then sure, because
I think I'd still be freaked out a little bit.
But I'd feel more comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't do well with bees. I usually you know, you're supposed to stay calm. I do the other thing where I just sprint 10 feet away and be like, all right, it's off. Like, there's no way it knows where I went. And then it's on your shoulder. You're like, how does it know?
Right.
I have like a phobia of needles. So yeah, bees I can't do. And that scene, yeah, I was so surprised to hear she did that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I wonder if like, you know, she goes home at the end of her day and her manager calls her and she's like, did you do the beehive scene? Like, you could have been killed. You could have been stung. This isn't in your contract. The director's like, she said she'd do it.
We could have asked for more money.
Yeah, we could have asked for more money.
Also, what's funny, it's like, the movie's not the honeybee, you know? Like, we didn't need this scene.
Well, she's the bee charmer, then.
But didn't have to be.
Yeah,
she could have been putting anything on the grave. She's putting
could have been a fried green tomato, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it would have made anything would have been fine. Leave whatever on the grave.
All right, let's talk about, because there's things that I don't like about this. Like, in general, I'm going to give this movie a pass.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll get to the things I don't like in a minute, but I thought upon watching this movie, I was like, oh, I bet people kind of like this in 1991 because it was so soft lesbian. You know what I mean? It was like broaching the subject without rubbing it in your face.
Okay.
It's a soft sell on lesbianism. You know what I mean? Super soft sell.
And to be fair, not just, I mean, yeah, so soft in the lesbian angle that it's actually just a women's movie.
Yeah, it's just women's friendship.
And there weren't women movies. There's just not a lot of them. Now there's a lot more than there were.
Sure.
But, I mean, Barbie was 2023.
Yeah.
And it was enormous.
Right, right.
Because of the fact that it was a women's movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it was 1990.
Women watch movies.
And they want to be represented in those movies.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Bechdel
test. Check the Bechdel test.
Just kidding, guys.
But this one does pass the Bechdel test many times.
Passes the Bechdel
for the
test,
most part.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this was back in 1990.
We're going to talk about masturbation.
Your vagina.
Your vagina.
How freaking funny, though.
I can't see my vagina anymore.
It was a funny scene, but when she's reliving it to Iggy and she goes, I couldn't look at my vagina, and she's crying, I laughed out loud.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a funny scene, but it's a sad scene, too. Nobody likes to see a big... What kind of an awful bully likes to see a bigger woman upset about how she's perceived, you know?
Oh, no.
Nobody.
I mean,
you're a monster.
In this case, it's Kathy Bates and it's a woman, but this is a very natural human, you know, you got weird stuff. And to look at your... I mean, I don't know what I look like from that angle. I'm not looking to know. But also, I don't want to find that out in a room full of other people doing the same thing either.
Yeah. Well, also, when she says it to Ninny... She goes, I can't see my vagina anymore. She says it to Ninny, and then he's just like, well, I can't help you with that one, which is great. Like, a great line to drop.
Yes.
Not mean, but also, like, take it easy, lady.
Right, right.
I forgot what my original point was going to be, though, about... So, there are problems with the movie. Okay, so it's a soft-sell lesbian movie made in 1991.
Yes.
Right?
Women and women first.
And I went to go read about... My new thing is I always read the Wikipedia, I always read the IMDb, but now what I've been doing is I like to go on the Reddit And there's always movie discussions from like 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
So I'm sure you've seen some of these people that are like, this is my favorite movie.
Yes.
It's so wild.
So I thought that you're going to get these newer lesbians or real life lesbians being like, this movie is like kind of cool, but like, listen, it's way too soft. We need proper representation, blah, blah, blah. So many people were like, this movie was formulative for me.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, so many people were like, I saw this and Xena Warrior Princess were my favorite things as a kid. How did my parents not know? How did I not know I was a lesbian? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The girls being like, I remember getting aroused during the food fight scene.
Wow.
And being like, wow, I guess is right, you know?
Wow. Because,
but I thought over time they'd start to be like, I thought there'd be some hardcore lesbians being like, fuck that movie. That's not a good representation. You know what I mean? They didn't even let them kiss or get together or anything, blah, blah, blah. But no, everyone's just like, we loved it.
Right.
Good to, happy to see ourselves up there in one way or another, you know?
Yeah. And it was the 1930s.
Yes.
So, you know, it was a lot truer to life.
I mean, I'm sure there were proper gay sex going on, a la Brokeback Mountain, right? That was in like the late 1800s, I think, that was set, I think. Maybe not, actually.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Brokeback might have been the 1960s, actually. Disregard that comment.
I didn't see that movie. But still, it's women.
Yeah, it's women.
Not men.
Right.
Which I think that's also even more rare. Or the fact that it was so much more maybe like, you get married, you have children, you're a woman.
Yeah.
You know, so any other option, even having a job would have been a weird one.
Two women owning a cafe together is like, yeah, it's a little, what's with those two?
Sure.
And they serve coloreds out the black, out the back. Freudian slip there. You know
funny.
What? I was queuing up a joke, and I fucked it up. I was going to say, luckily there was a bunch of N-bombs thrown into this movie to keep guys like Mike Toohey interested.
Oh, how dare
but
you.
But then I slipped, and I said, they feed coloreds out the black.
We're talking about, I didn't realize how much of the lesbian stuff, but now that you're saying it, obviously it's all in there. But yeah, the whole Ku Klux Klan, which obviously it's real, obviously it's the South, but they're taking these, did I write this down? Maybe not. They took big themes.
Yeah.
And they're just so clunky.
Yeah.
They're so clunky.
Just compress them into like a softball
scene. It's
just
grief, you know,
dude, when
death,
he walks in,
racism.
When he walks in to steal the baby and he's like, where's Ruth? Never mind. It's like, what a lazy delivery of a line. And just like, he just barely grazes her with a shotgun.
Oh, when he smacks the woman with the shotgun, dude, I go, whoa. I said, whoa. Because I'm just like, what is that? Was
what is
so
crazy,
so unnecessary in the face with the end of the gun. And then we have to watch that scene again.
Yes.
When they change the information. I'm like, we have to watch her get smacked like this?
So I want to get into the major problems with the movie, because I do think there's like major.
This might end up being a 2-hour podcast if we get into every problem.
But even from like
I got some too.
From just a storytelling perspective, like there's major flaws in this film, in my opinion.
Hit me.
There's a lot of like things that get explained away in the movie in one line that you're supposed to just remember. Like Ninny, the old lady in the nursing home.
The friend. That we never meet.
No, Ninny in the nursing home, the old lady with the purple hair at one point. She's been talking to...
That's Iggy.
We're going to get to that.
Oh,
because that's a major problem with this movie.
Yeah. You know it from the second time you meet her, where someone comes in and they say her last name. Thorn something. And I go, wait a second. And that's Iggy's last name, which we know from the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But yeah, if you didn't, if you didn't pick up
Iggy's
on that.
Brother, what's his name? Buddy, right?
Buddy was the...
Who gets hit by the train? With the foot in the track, and then Buddy Jr. is named after him.
Were they both named Buddy?
Yeah, because he named him Buddy. And then he also loses the arm, which is like from the train, which is like, what the how do you even let your kids go near the train tracks after your brother died from, you know what I mean?
You're hitting a couple of things I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. You name the kid Buddy, first off. That's what you call a kid, not what you name a kid.
And then you name him Stumpy. You're calling
Stump.
Stumpy.
See, I like Stump.
I do like that because it's, I like the reasoning where it's like, it might as well be own it. You know
and
what
it's
I mean?
1930s.
It. Yeah.
You're Stump. That own makes it. Sense to me. And then, yeah, can we put a sign up, you know?
Train, stay off the fucking
train
tracks.
Coming.
Yeah, for real. Can these trains be noisier or something?
Okay, and then that kid Stump is like so happy when they get off at the trial to find the killer of his father. That's his dad who got murdered.
Yeah, but he's not.
I understand, but still,
he might not even know actually that it's his dad. In fairness, his mom might have raised him just being like, "Your daddy's dead" or "Your dad's gone." You know
Did it
I mean?
Never come up that he was there for the kid?
Oh yeah, it probably did. But they could, I don't know, they could shield a kid from all that shit where it's like, you know, his kid's not
gonna talk to the police.
Oh no, of
course it did, because the detective was like, didn't you say that he was there to see his son? Oh, did that happen?
We got to step back though.
Okay,
we got to go back to Ninny.
Okay,
because that's her name. That's how she introduces herself. Blah blah blah. She's in the nursing home.
Okay,
and you say she's got the last name Threadgood, right?
Which whatever it was,
but
Thornberry.
And this is a problem I have, because this is explained away in like one sentence, and you're supposed to kind of keep it in the back of your head. Uh-huh. She goes, I married. Iggy's brother, or I married one of the Threadgoods, and we had a son, and my son was a simpleton, right? Remember, she said he never progressed past the mental age of five, but he lived to 30.
He raised her the third. Yeah, she raised him to 30. Yeah.
So that's why she is Threadgood. But then at the end of the movie, and this is a huge fucking problem I have, at the end of the movie, she leaves the nursing home and she goes back to where her house should be, right?
Yes.
And she's like, first of all, you don't get out of the cab. You don't drop a 98-year-old woman off in this deserted town.
Yeah.
But he does anyway, and she's sitting there, she's crying where her house should be, right?
Yes.
And then, what's her name again? The actress?
Mary Louie?
Nah.
The other one?
Misery.
Oh, Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates shows up.
Yes.
To be like, honey, I'm sorry, we didn't want to tell you, but things are different. And then they walk over to the grave of Ruth.
Yes.
And there's honey there. And Ninny has this moment where it's like, I'm Iggy. Right? Yeah. That's clearly a thing the movie's trying to insinuate. It's like, I'm
Iggy. She doesn't say I'm Iggy.
She doesn't.
But she just left a note from Iggy on the grave.
Yeah, that's a fresh note, fresh honey.
Yes.
Iggy has clearly been here and is alive.
Correct.
And Ninny seems to be insinuating that it's her.
It is. She is.
Then how did she marry Iggy's brother? If she's Iggy.
Yeah.
Then also, okay, so let's play with that too. And I'm not saying like you're wrong or dumb. I'm saying this whole fucking movie's dumb for this thing, because it doesn't even, not that it's confusing.
I guess I don't even remember. I mean, I know that she had a kid. I know that the kid was something was wrong. Yeah. Only lived to 30. I don't remember what she said about who she married.
They were like the Threadgoods were like family to me. I married into them.
Okay.
She says early on, and then we had the kid or whatever. But my husband died a long time. I'm the only one left. Blah blah blah. Mm. But then in the movie, she's clearly insinuating I'm Iggy.
Right.
So if you're Iggy and you came here and leave notes and honey for her, you know the town is gone. You know your house is gone.
Oh, dude. So this was the thing.
So it makes no sense. What are you acting all surprised for? If you come here and leave shit on the... If you're Iggy.
Of course.
If you're Iggy, how are you Iggy? You just said you're this other person.
So she goes to this nursing home where she's not actually in there for herself. For a friend we don't meet.
And that's another thing that's like so confusing. Why are you here?
The friend dies.
Yeah.
Which, and this is a tangent, not what my point right now, but... Uh-huh. Kathy Bates, like, they trick her. Like, we have to have that scene where she thinks Iggy died.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
We have that Arrested Development scene where the doctor's like, they're going to be fine. And it's like, oh, thank God. It's like, well, they're dead, but they're fine. It's like, what?
Yeah. We don't think he's going to make it. What do you mean he's not going to be? Well, he's not going to make it out of the room.
Yeah, because
what it's, dude, I'm like, I can't believe
it's
we just
so
had to.
Forced.
And Kathy Bates is a real actress, man.
Yeah,
she's
pulls
like,
that scene through.
Yeah, she's like, put those roses back on the wall. How dare you? This is a real person. Meanwhile, she's not actually dead. And it happens like this.
Yeah.
And it's explained out in a way that's comical.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was, you feel like it's so hollow. It rips you. Like,
it's
what is
funny,
that?
But it's like, what the hell is going on?
How
here?
Can you expect me to take this seriously
and
when
I
you treat it like this?
I also felt bad for the orderly. Who's like, I'm just doing my job. I gotta get someone else in here. There's another old lady. Maybe you wanna talk to her.
It just made it funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, forget all that. Iggy's in there. Her friend, who she's there to support, who we never meet, dies. Mm-hmm. The next day, she's packed up all her stuff and left.
Not just the next day, that morning, she says, right? She's like, they died this morning. And whatever. She's like, okay. We move fast here.
She leaves immediately. Yeah, yeah. Maybe she died at night. She leaves in the morning.
Sure. Okay.
She's out of there in the morning, back to the house. And like you said, in what world does this 83-year-old woman
get
go,
out.
This is me, as a tumbleweed.
The cab driver is also going to be like, that town that nobody lives in anymore?
So, yes. So she's sitting on the... How many years has she been away that her house was able to be condemned and knocked down?
Condemned, knocked down, left the chimney, every other building covered in like ivy and shit.
And
you know
that's
I mean?
Where, that's my point.
Yeah.
The movie ends, they go over and they scan over to Fried Green Tomatoes shop, the whistle stop. Mm-hmm. There's a little bullet hole or a rock that went through the window in 1933.
Yeah, that no one
still in the window. There.
There's also a triangle in the dust that represents LGBTQ. Apparently,
this building still stands, but her house condemned. That had to have been lived in much, much more recently, like decades.
Yeah,
condemned and knocked down to the ground. Yeah. Why?
None of this movie makes sense.
It doesn't make it. That doesn't make any sense.
The edgy thing at the end though really bothers me.
Yeah, and
it's
then
just
she's
like
edgy,
you need to make up your fucking mind with this movie. I don't mind her being edgy at the end, but she can't be talking about marrying into the family and having this kid and like.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, in my head, I'm going, oh, she almost admits to it. And I'm going, but we knew she was edgy the whole time. I didn't get hung up on this about the kid thing, but I remember what you're saying. I didn't even think about it.
It's something where, like, I remember being a little annoyed, and then I go online and read about it, and everyone's like, yeah, it's a major.
It doesn't,
like, it doesn't make,
it doesn't
any,
make
sense.
Any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
The fact that you zoom in on a bullet hole to be like, this is how it was, this is the place, and well, then what happened to her house?
That bullet hole shot is like the equivalent of the ending of Gangs of New York when they show the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge, like back in the 1800s, and then it just slowly cuts to like current day.
Oh. That's
what they were going for anyway. Where it's like, wow, look at how time has moved on.
Yeah.
But some things remain the same. It's
I won't have any Gangs of New York slander on this podcast.
You love that movie?
I love it.
That last act is a little slow.
Everyone says the movie. Everyone tells me it's trash.
I don't think the movie. I like the movie a lot.
I love it.
The last like half hour drags a little bit.
It's too long. There's some parts that are dumb. I don't care. I love that movie.
No, it's a good movie for sure.
It's a good one.
John C. Reilly's great in that
movie. I kind of forgot that that's how it ends, so it brings it up to New York
City.
It does a thing in real life.
Where it's like, you live here.
Yeah.
Like, there's history everywhere you go. Kind of that thing. And it's like, yeah, it is a cool thing to remember and stuff.
I guess the way I feel, a lot of women feel about Fried Green Tomatoes. Yeah, we don't care. She's edgy. She's the other one. It doesn't matter.
Right.
She raised the kid for 30 years. She was in that house for 40 years. How many years was she in the nursing home with a woman we never meet?
That's the other thing, too. Yeah, so she's like 20 years old in 1930. Now it's 1991. So she's supposed to be, I guess she's supposed to be like 90 years old, right?
Yeah, probably.
That's wild.
That's about right.
Here's another problem I had, which I don't know if it's a problem or maybe it's great filmmaking. Maybe it's a red herring.
Yes.
So we know that Ruth is pregnant, and we know that Iggy goes over to like... kind of save her and get her out of that house.
When he kicks her down the stairs.
Yes, Mike.
Oh, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, when he kicks her down the stairs. And you know she's going to get thrown down the stairs.
Yeah.
She's got a baby in her belly, and she's halfway up the stairs with an angry man.
Yes.
She's about to get kicked or thrown down
the
stairs.
He considers what to do for so long.
Yeah, telegraphs the play.
I'm like, are you going to put her down just to like think about that?
They had enough time to drag in a mattress to break her.
He held her for so long.
So long. And then he just gives her like a Shawn Michaels drop kick to the back.
She goes down the stairs like the guy in Psycho. Like, woo!
Yeah,
like he doesn't actually touch anything.
Yeah, she doesn't touch any stairs. She basically like belly flops. And that's what she does. She belly flops
into a suitcase.
Onto the hardwood. And you go, oh, that babe. Here we go. Miscarriage scene. That baby ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
No problem. Just using a common abortion trope.
But the
as
baby
a
made it.
Yeah, the baby made it. It's like, well, why the fuck? I don't know. Why have her just to show him hitting her more?
Yeah.
It's such a strange, like, because. A woman getting thrown down the stairs and losing the baby is a trope at this point. I'm sorry, but it is.
No, it's. I mean,
and then they do it, but the baby sticks around.
The baby sticks around.
It's another example of them being like, "No, we can't be so heavy with this movie. We can't be so blunt. You know what I mean? Like, we need to soften the edges everywhere with this movie."
In that house, and this is, nothing. But I know this is psychosis. I know this is Mike Toohey psychosis. But there's a grandfather clock on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
No, there's not. It's in the living room. Who's carrying this freaking thing to the second floor? A grandfather clock?
There's probably another one on the first floor,
1931?
Though. That's the thing. 1931.
Grandfather clock stays in the living room.
They might have more than one.
More than one grandfather clock?
You know, these southern people.
What were they, living on a plantation?
Well, this is the 1930s, and all their houses are like the paint's chipped. They look like old houses, because it is. Yeah, they've been living in these houses for like 100 years already, probably. So it's like, we found another grandfather clock or whatever. It's like, put it upstairs in the master bedroom.
How? Who's carrying it upstairs?
Big George. Big George and Company.
Yeah, Big George and Company. Moving company. Anyway, I didn't like the fact that there was a grandfather clock on the top.
There's small things like that sometimes I'll be watching a movie now and I'll go, oh, that would really bother Mike.
So there
was one in this movie, but I can't remember. I should have wrote it down, too.
So they're in trial.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to Mary Louise. Why would you want to go with her? And she ends up breaking down and kind of saying, I love her and she's my best friend.
Instead of just being like, well, my husband was abusive.
He hit me.
Yeah.
He you hit could me. Definitely Simple say that. That. Even back in the 20s.
Even back in the day, they'd be like, well, it's very common, but I get it.
Like, some guys did it, but people still consider those guys freaking assholes. Yeah, it wasn't like we were happy. And no one was happy about it, but things happened. That guy was a scumbag. But on sitting on trial when you know he's dead, I mean, and he did hit you.
Yeah.
You say, he used to hit me.
Yeah, very simple.
I mean, come on, how does she not say it?
Your Honor, I'm gay. It's like, it has nothing to do with anything, lady. I love that woman over there. It's like, all right, but where were you that night?
Fine, hang everyone I know. Oh God, the preacher comes in and lies, which I think is so funny. It's like he's a hypocrite in this whole thing, and in the end a lie sets him free. But it's BYOB. Bring your own Bible.
Yeah.
Love that.
Nobody's gonna look at it. Nobody's gonna, you know. Yeah, I guess so he's a priest.
It's so like, now he can lie.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates having a breakdown, and you said it before, they telegraph everything.
Yeah.
It's clumsy, it's ham-handed, you see everything coming from a mile away. And these two women go by.
We're just younger and faster.
What is it? Face it, girls. I'm older and have more insurance.
Yeah, not a bad line. Not a bad line.
I lost it.
Not a bad line.
I have more insurance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. Which I almost kind of get. Where it's like, if you're 40, if you're in your 40s and you haven't had like a big accident, I think you can get away with like ramming someone's car intentionally, being like, it was an accident. I don't know, about five times or six times, whatever it was. But yeah, your insurance company be like, well, I guess they were due for one. I don't know.
I'm older and I have more insurance.
Yeah.
So I go,
those girls were bitches though.
Absolutely. So that, yeah, she's sitting in that car and I go, oh, she's gonna like snap now, I guess. Now it's the time to snap. And then
to Wanda.
Here it comes, right on. Yeah. Do you cringe every time she says it?
Yeah, I cringe every time the girl in the 30s said it. To Wanda.
Yeah, so they get in the car, they're driving away from the abusive husband, and they're saying to Wanda.
It's like
they
a
don't
warrior
really
woman.
Yeah, I looked it up, it's just empowerment, and you're living in an Amazon warrior, your inner Amazon. All right. I don't know. It made me cringe a little bit.
Definitely a little cringe. Especially now. I think in 91. That's the thing.
Geronimo.
It's a long time. It's over 30 years ago. So like people's palate are just going to taste things, you know.
Yes.
More sincerely.
Speaking of tasting things, she comes over after she's this new woman.
Yep.
And she brings over crudité.
Yes.
It's just a bag of celery.
Yeah. I guess that's one way to call it. Yeah. Crudité is a bag of celery. Sure, that works. Crudité?
She's like, I'm good. This raw stuff really gets me. You know, it's a women movie for women.
Yeah. One more glaring thing at the end.
Yes.
Because I enjoyed it a little. I enjoyed the movie as a whole a little. I did like Mary Louise Parker. I did like...
You have to give it that it keeps it moving.
Yeah, keeps it moving. Kathy Bates says... All the actors do a pretty decent job.
We are
job.
Going from funeral... to amputation, to funeral for an amputation.
At one point, it seems like one of those movies where it's like, oh, this is just going to be a bunch of stories from back in the day. Almost like A River Runs Through It. Have you seen that?
I don't think so.
Like, there's an overarching story, but it's also just like, here's tales of us growing up out there for 2.5 hours, whatever, which I'm down for.
I think I fell asleep during that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie, but it's going to be, I understand falling asleep during it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What Dreams May Come.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That I fell asleep.
Anthony Hopkins?
I don't know. I slipped through it.
Okay. So we find out at the end, because it becomes like a murder mystery.
There's a lot.
It starts
it's the
as
Ku
a lesbian
Klux Klan
thing,
in the South.
It's
this, and then there's a little sprinkle, a little splash of cannibalism.
Dude,
how do you like that?
I could have been on board with like.
How do you like those fried green tomatoes?
If that didn't happen at the end of the movie, I think I'd have a bit of a higher opinion of this movie. They treat it so lightly that they, first of all, you kill this guy and bury him. It's like, I'm all for that. I get it. This guy's a terrible person. He's gonna keep coming back. You gotta put this dog down. I get it. But you fucking bury the body or something. They barbecue the body.
I think we're gonna need a pig roast.
Yeah, pig boil.
Pig boil.
And it's just this black cauldron that we've been seeing here and there throughout the film. They keep cutting to it.
Are they boiling the bones?
Are they making a stew?
Where's
like
the
that?
Skull?
I don't know. But they insinuate then that they feed the barbecue to the guy, to the cop who's coming around trying
to solve this
case.
The Georgian detective.
Yeah.
With the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life.
Worst haircut ever, bad attitude.
Yep.
It's so silly, but also dark that they cook this guy and maybe not just feed him to the guy, but like use his body as the secret's in the sauce, and she laughs about it.
Sauce, yeah.
It's like, bitch, did you eat some of him too? Like, she's so light about it.
Yeah.
And it's an otherwise very.
It's not the main course. It's just a little appetizer of cannibalism.
It's shredded human on the side of slaw.
Yeah.
But in a movie that's otherwise completely bettered in reality, and like this could totally happen, it's like you're not cooking a guy and feeding him to people. You animals. You monsters.
Now that I'm thinking about it,
it's such a wild thing.
The Big Joe? Big John?
Big George.
Big George. Big George is like the symbol of morality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, he doesn't speak a lot. He stands true. He's a family man. He does the right thing by all accounts. But then when it comes down to it, he's like, we got to get our story straight. Like, he's the one in charge of there. And then he's the one who actually boils the human being and feeds him. He ends up doing some really sinister shit.
I mean, I kind of get Big George's motivation because Sipsy, his mom, is the one who ultimately did kill the guy.
Sure.
She whacks him with a frying pan, which I didn't see coming.
That was like the best scene in the movie.
I mean, it's a good scene, but it's also like the way they parcel it out so that it becomes a mystery at the end of like a whodunit. I know. It's just dumb.
And then you have to watch the whole scene again.
Yeah, you got
to
watch
starting from him coming in the house.
Never mind. Doink. It's like,
I could not believe we had to see that twice. Yeah. And then the drunk,
Smokey. He should have been Sipsy.
Why does he leave? He's like, it'll be easy if I leave. Why?
I think I agree with that because it's like, all right, vagabond leaves the night after a guy was supposedly murdered. It's like probably him, even though it wasn't him.
Oh.
So it just kind of takes the...
So they can suspect him, but they never do. He never comes up.
Well, I don't know. Did he never come up? Did the cop never mention it?
The detective never talks about that guy.
Because he comes back 5 years later. Smokey comes back 5 years
later. And no one cared. Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, this guy's around looking for... It doesn't do anything. It's not until they pull the truck out of the water, which they never explain.
How they find the truck. Just somebody found the truck.
Oh, no.
In the water.
It was a flood. It was a flooding rains, and it ended up actually coming out of the ground.
Okay.
No, but they never show you how they physically got it into the water.
Yeah, they drove it in there.
I mean, you figure they just drove it into the water, but still.
I mean, I'm more interested in finding out how they hacked up this body and cooked it.
Right.
You know, it's like, God, that's not to be taken lightly. In the book, too, it's like. It's not like a chuckle like did they or didn't they cook him. It's like we cooked him. Buried the head.
She says the secret's in the sauce 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, they say they saved the head.
They say they buried the head.
Okay.
Which is like, okay.
Again.
Bury the whole fucking body, you weirdos. Yeah. Why are you feeding these people?
I bet the book is
wild.
Good. I bet it's much better. Good, especially you said there's lesbian sex.
Yeah, proper lesbian sex.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. Have you ever had a fried green tomato?
No, but I was curious after seeing this. Apparently, they're very simple to make.
I thought about actually trying to make them today before this pod so we could like take a bite on the camera.
Imagine I came in with a tray and you already had them going.
We're like lesbians now.
Gift of the Magi. This movie really had a lasting impression on us.
I'd like to just, if we could.
Of course.
Last episode, I said that SpongeBob is gay. And you were like, is this true?
Uh-huh.
What kind of weirdo shit are you into? So I looked it up. So officially the line is he's part of the LGBTQ because he's asexual. So I'm sorry.
That's very different than being gay then. That means you're not even gay for yourself.
But he's...
You know?
Not even gay. He's not even gay for himself.
Not even gay for himself.
You know? And if you don't listen to this pod, you're not going to get gems like that.
Yeah.
Like that sentence.
Share this podcast, guys. Fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, we know you're listening. And if you're listening to this one, you're a fan of this thing. Because this movie, people aren't watching this movie.
Yeah, this movie's 33 years old.
No, this is a movie that either,
Actually want to reach out to a few women I know and be like, have you seen this? Does it mean anything to you?
I bet they're nostalgic for it. And if they haven't seen it, I mean, who knows this movie?
This movie could use a remake.
They did it.
They remade it?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. They did. I can't believe it took us this long to mention it.
Who is it? Is it Ethan Hawke's daughter?
Where the Crawdads Sing, dude. This is so similar to Crawdaddy.
Yeah.
To the Crawdad movie.
That movie was better?
It was better. The Crawdads was good.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no lesbianism in it. It was just a straight...
Right.
But like someone dies that has to get covered up. It's the South back in the day.
No, but it was better
this
than
wild
this
wild girl.
Movie.
Oh, much better than this movie. Yeah, this movie was... Yeah.
I'm trying
to... Both based off books.
All right, how about Rotten Tomatoes? You want to pull this one out?
I'm going to go with 74%.
76.
Not bad, Dennis.
And the audience is 87.
Yeah, people
with 100,000 ratings.
Old Lesbos, dude, love this movie. I can't believe this movie made over $100 million at the box office. This movie went great at the box office.
119 million. Yeah, they loved it. Mary Stuart Masterson.
That's who it is. The charming beekeeper, Iggy, Ninny, whoever the fuck she is.
Ninny Threadgood is Jessica Tandy. Mm. Iggy Threadgood, I see. Yeah, they're two different people, I guess. Ruth Jameson. All right, good. But I'm looking for the remake.
They really did remake it? I thought you were fucking with me.
I really thought that they did.
No, they didn't remake this
movie. I thought that they just redid
this. I would have known about this. You're thinking of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's not fried green tomatoes.
All right. I guess I potatoes, really tomatoes. Thought that they... was there a TV series?
Oh, that I can believe.
With Reba McEntire.
Called Fried Green Tomatoes?
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh. Huh. Half a season?
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't say. It's weird.
We should visit the Whistle Stop Here we Cafe. Go.
Reba McEntire's Fried Green Tomatoes television series is dead. That's an article from 2021, so I don't know how long it lasted.
Not very long, I'd say.
Yeah, where is it again? Georgia? No.
They made one in Alabama, I think. Yeah, but like there didn't exist before the movie. But then they decided to make one as a tourist spot, and I think it does decent.
Well, I was out in New Mexico, and it's like there's a full-on... You could like have a full-on vacation around the series...
Breaking Bad. Really?
Yes. It's a full-on tourist trap.
That's so funny.
They just... There's some things that existed. There's some things they've created.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you just go down there and live the... meth lab cooking.
It's like the Guinness factory tour. Like they give you a little bit of meth at the start of it. Just a taste.
Outlaw lifestyle. Yeah, you dress in one of those suits and you have to make a little
yellow meth, suit, right?
Meth rock.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we did it. We survived another month of this. We'll have a new schedule out.
Roadhouse next week.
Next week?
This week.
Okay, well, the thing about Roadhouse... Dennis and Mike at home watching movies with you guys.